You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Alright, good afternoon, 5 p.m. service. Today we're going through our foretold series and we're down to our third installment. And basically the goal of this series is for us to know more of who Jesus is, to grow in our understanding, in our knowledge of who Jesus is. Over the past few weeks, we looked at different facets that talked about Jesus. Last week, we talked about Jesus being this humble servant. Yes, He's our Savior. He is our Lord. But He also came to this earth to serve us. Can you imagine that? Okay, and for the third week, we talk about Jesus naman as the faithful witness. Okay, and we're going to learn what it means, how this will greatly affect us. Because as we've mentioned several times throughout this series, the more we grow in our understanding of who Jesus is, it will greatly affect the way we live our lives. But the more you grow in knowledge and what He has done for you, the more you understand that, it will greatly affect your life and the lives of other people as well. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn them to Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9? I'm going to be basing mainly on these verses. Verse 4, it says there, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, and that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning and morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." Verse 7, "But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near, who will contend me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up." There's a couple of things or some context lang about the book of Isaiah. Again, just before we unpack the verses we read a while ago, again, the book of Isaiah, written of course by Isaiah, is a book of prophecy, some prophetic writings by or prophecies spoken by Isaiah. And it was a time wherein the kingdom of Israel was split in two. You have a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And si Isaiah was prominently in the southern kingdom doing ministry and prophesying. And the thing with Isaiah was that part of his prophecy, part of that word that God had for the nation of Israel at this time when they were split in two na, was that God was going to pronounce judgment upon them. He was going to use this foreign nation, the kingdom of Assyria, and other kingdoms as well, to attack them, to bring judgment on this nation, Israel, because they had pretty much veered away. They had drastically drifted away from the plan God had for them, from the way God had intended them to live. They were sinning against God. They were committing idolatry. They were doing all sorts of things against God. So God, in His righteous anger and judgment, pronounced, again, judgment and wrath upon them. A nation would come, would attack them, conquer them, and capture some of them and bring them into exile. And you can read that in the first 40 chapters or so of the book of Isaiah. But after that is also a message of hope. That yes, they will experience all of these things, but their destruction will not be complete. There will be hope. And over the past few weeks, we came to know much more about that hope, which is the promised Messiah. We've learned that He is this wise king, this humble servant, and this time naman, okay, He is this faithful witness. Now in chapter 50, the Lord God deals with the complaints of Israel. Because the people pretty much felt like, you know, see, God, He's given up on us now. We're experiencing these hardships, these problems, because God has abandoned us. He has forsaken us. That's why we went into exile. Our nation was destroyed. We're suffering. It's because God has left us. In the first three verses, Isaiah chapter 50, before we get to our main verse, in verse 1 especially, it says here, "Thus says the Lord, where is your mother's certificate of divorce, which I sent her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away." Basically, God is saying that if you claim that I have deserted or abandoned you, if the nation of Israel is like a wife to me, where is that divorce certificate? If you claim that I have left you or given up on you, to which of my creditors did I sold you to slavery or something? God is telling them, where? Asa ba? And He tells them that, behold, it is for your iniquities, your sins, that you were sold, and for your transgressions, that your mother was sent away. In other words, it was their fault. It was their sins, their rebellion against God, all the evil things that they've done led them to this point. And yet, God did not or would not abandon them. And starting in verse 4, we get to see again another glimpse of this hope for their nation. It's again God providing hope for this nation that keeps on rejecting, keeps on rebelling, and keeps on going against Him no matter how many times He has shown His love and favor to them. So we're going to go straight to verse 4. But first, let's qualify muna. What is a witness? Since we're talking about Jesus being this faithful witness, what does it mean to be called a witness? A witness is basically one of two things in general. One is someone present when a transaction takes place, when you're about to buy something or the contract signing ka or something, a witness is there to basically testify that the agreement, the transaction took place. But another kind of witness is someone with personal knowledge or evidence of something or an event. Picture, you know, a witness in a courtroom. Right, those of you who mahilig magantaw, mga detective, police, TV shows or something, di ba? Or law shows. A witness is someone who goes to trial and testifies what he has seen, heard, smelled, okay? Whatever he has experienced, tanang makita niya that is relevant to the situation, he or she will say it. In other words, what he or she has to say is crucial because he is there. Makita niya, na-experience niya, and what he has to say is vital to the case or to the, or whatever investigates authorities. Now, for Jesus to be this faithful witness, it means that what he has to say, what he has been witnessing is very crucial and important as well. Much like other witnesses, what he has to say is something that we need to hear. That's why it's important for us to understand and appreciate him being this faithful witness. Now in verse 4, as we start unpacking our main passage for today, it starts with this statement, the Lord God. Just tell your seatmate, Lord God. Okay, dili seatmate ninyo si Lord God. But the Lord God means, okay, in Hebrew, Jehovah Adonai. And Adonai, it talks about or expresses a personal relationship between a master and a servant or a slave. When I say slave, dili katong naka-chains, naka-preso nga kind of slave. But slave in a sense na parang servant. Okay, in their time, their culture, to be called a slave or a servant, medyo interchangeable siya. But here, this term symbolizes the relationship of God with His people. And this relationship emphasizes not of ownership, but implies a working, close, personal relationship. Or in our modern times, imagine a employee with a boss. Okay, anyone here you're working? Wala, tuluro ka buktawo, employed karon sa church. For those of you who are working, you're not naman siguro, you know, nakakadena mo sa trabaho ninyo or something. But you have this working relationship with your boss, with your leaders. And basically, in their time, their culture, a master has two obligations to his servants or to his slaves. First is to provide basic needs, a place to sleep or stay, food, clothes, basic amenity, basic nga kailangan for his servant to be able to serve, okay, to be able to do the chores and other tasks. Another thing is that the master would have to provide direction and training for the servant or the slave. Para effective siya sa buhato niya. Because, you know, if naka'y servant, doesn't know what to do. Okay, you just told them, sige, servant, okay, plow the fields. Mentionin mo, usaw pag plow sa field, usaw pag tanom, sir, di ko kabalo, sir. So he has to provide the training. He has to provide a lot of things for a servant to be effective as a servant. And so in the same way, as we go back to verse 4 of Isaiah 50, we get to see slowly that God has been providing several things for this faithful servant, who is also a faithful witness, for him to be an effective witness. Okay, again, it symbolizes this relationship of master and servant or slave. It says here, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught. The faithful witness, Jesus, okay, he's talking about him, that he has this tongue of those who are taught. And that statement, the tongue of those who are taught, talks about someone who is a disciple. Okay, a disciple in general. Because a disciple, for him to learn things, to grow in learning, understanding, or knowledge and wisdom, basically makuha na niya tanan sa teacher or master niya. So in other words, those who are taught, okay, or disciples, okay, they grew in knowledge by learning from someone close to them, their teachers, their leaders. We're talking about someone here who speaks out of intimate association with the Lord. When he says, I have the tongue of those who are Lord. What I'm about to speak comes from God because this faithful witness has an intimate association with the Lord. What he's going to do with that tongue or those words. It says here that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. One thing we can understand or grasp when we talk about Jesus as this faithful witness is that Jesus sustains the weary. Him being a witness, okay, him being a witness is that he sustains the weary. Anyone here mahilig mag sports? Anyone here wala may kamot? Okay, di mo mang isa. Okay, if you're into sports, if you've ever played sports, you're an athlete. Okay, anyone here wala may kamot ni isa? Okay, that's weird. Okay, I just realized that. But you know, if you ever or you were a sports person and all that, diba, kung magkapoy ka, you would need something to replenish you, something to keep you, you know, being able to play and do the activity gapon, whether that be Gatorade, potassium from a banana or something, or snacks or tubig man lang. You need this stuff to sustain you. Now the same thing with us, church. There are times that we get weary, we get tired. Some of us here, siguro, we feel hopeless. For us, there's an issue in our lives. There's something in our lives right now that we feel like, man, this has to be dealt. Ikapoy na kag trying to deal ana, parang pabalik-balik siya, it's there and there. Maybe you've given up na parang mura siguro na siya. Some of us here, okay, we're like that tired athlete, desperate for something to refresh us, to sustain us, to keep us strong. And the simple message here is that Jesus is that kind of person who's able to sustain the weary. Here's a quick question for us. When we get tired or weary or when we have problems, who do we listen to? Who do we run to? Who do we subscribe to? Oftentimes, when we encounter problems, we go to different people, experts. We exhaust our resources. We go to this and that, but we miss out to pause and actually listen. Lord, what do you have to say to me? What do you have to say to me in this area, in this situation, in this issue, in this problem, or this concern in my life? Matthew 11, verse 28 says, come to me, this is Jesus speaking, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Some of us here are thirsty and longing for rest, for peace, na parang gikapoy na og, trying to deal and fix something in our lives. And we are in need of that rest, and guess what? That rest, you can get that because there's this free and open invitation from Jesus. Right? There's this free and open invitation from Jesus, and sometimes we miss out on that. Now, talking about that, why do we need to go to Jesus? Because what he's proclaiming, what he is speaking or witnessing is the gospel. Look, it says here, I am not ashamed of the gospel, this Apostle Paul talking, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What Jesus did when he was doing his ministry, when he was witnessing, was advancing the kingdom of God, was that he was also proclaiming the gospel. And the gospel is important because it has to be spoken to weary souls. It proclaims pardon. It preaches peace. When we say pardon, forgiveness as well. And it is the word of righteousness and salvation. In other words, it is good news that is very much relevant to all of us, to any person. It's not like some old news na, you know, if you pull out something from the archive, old news, it might not be relevant. But this good news, this gospel, this transforming power of God for salvation is something that we all need to hear. If you haven't heard it, you need to hear of it. If there are people in your life that haven't heard it, they need to hear it. They need to hear the gospel. And what is the gospel? Very quickly lang. Summarized version of the gospel says here, the gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation to all who repent and believe in him. In other words, it's this good news that God came down to this world as Jesus, died on the cross for our sins, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, have this new life. And we're all recipients of that. That's wonderful, amazing news. Jesus didn't just preach the message. He is the message. The gospel points to him. He is this message, and we need to hear of it. That has to be spread on gospel. Going back to verse 4, it even says here, he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. One reason why this faithful witness is able to witness effectively and sustain the weary. If you're wondering, asa gikan ang words niya, the words of the tongue of those who are taught. Why does he have the tongue of those who are taught? It's because every day, morning by morning, he's awakened by God and he hears, okay, and his ear is awakened to hear as those who are taught. In other words, he receives the word of God. Another quick question for all of us. How many of us here today, when we open our eyes, first thing in the morning, what we do is that we check our phones? Diba? Except from pressing it 5 times, kahit para mo snooze. Okay? Kailangan ka matulog pa o so. Diba? How many of us, we check our phones almost instinctively. When you wake up, you check Twitter, you check your social media accounts, you check kung nabay nag-like sa imong gi-post. Na 3 hours ni mong gigama. You check if nag-appreciate sa gi-filter ni mo, gi-edit ni mga photo. Itong mga nagtagos, face na guilty, okay? But we do it. We want to be updated. Na by text from friends, unsay plano today, na by laag later, na by something that happened. We check our phones instinctively every day for us to be updated by whatever's happening in the world. But here's the thing. Are we like Jesus who listens to and obeys what God has spoken? Do we take time to wake up in the morning to pause and say, Lord, what do you have to say to me today? Are we updated with what God is speaking, with what God wants to speak to us? Updated as world, but what about the word of God? Are we updated on that as well? Are we updated on what He has to speak to us? Jesus listens to and obeys what God has spoken because He listens to the word of God, is able to preach and speak the word of God to the weary, to minister to them, to sustain them. Kaya nagawa siya sa life niya. It's like when you marinate meat, okay? Anyone mahilig ug barbecue or meat, di ba? When you marinate it in sauce, the herbs, the spices, and all that, whatever that marinade solution is, muna ang flavor niya. Muna ang mugawas na flavor. And the same thing with us. If we're not marinated in the Word of God, if we don't feed ourselves, we don't listen and immerse ourselves in the Word of God, it will not come out of us. If we want to be faithful witnesses, we need to feed, we need to make sure that we're feeding ourselves with the Word of God. We're hearing the Word of God, listening to the Word of God. Jesus here exemplifies dependence on God's Word. Is attentively listening morning by morning. Not just that. In verse 5, it says here, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backwards. Okay, so he was obedient. As a faithful servant. Now that word open there has an interesting meaning. Okay, it comes from the Hebrew word patak or patach, okay, whatever this pronunciation is. And it says here it means to carve or engrave. Now why to carve and engrave? Because back then in their time, there's this practice within master and slave. Okay. If a slave or a servant wishes to serve his master for the rest of his life, pwede niya buhaton. Exodus chapter 21, verse 5 to 6 gives us this detail of what happens. It says here, if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, meaning I want to serve my master for the rest of my life. Ganun ko ma-servant niya forever. If he says that, then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost. In other words, parang, Lord, here's this servant of his own free will, not forced, voluntary niya giningon, he wants to serve me for life. And he says here as well, he shall bring him to the door and the doorpost. Why? Ano dalang putahan man? Because the master will bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. What is this awl thing and what is he doing? This is that item, that awl. It's something used in making leather to put holes. And what the master does is that he would bring his servant to the doorpost. Patindugo niya dito, i-aim niya sa ear, and he would pierce his ear. So all of you nga ganan magpa-piercing, this is how they did piercing way back, okay? Okay, wala nang mga kanang gun naman na something karon. Okay, tusukon diretso, okay? And why? It is to signify that this servant has voluntarily given his life to serve his master forever. Voluntarily, okay? Not forced to do so. In other words, for the faithful witness to say this, okay, Jesus, as a servant, he exemplified faithfulness to his calling as a witness by being obedient to the will of God. That he is willing to follow God wherever is the will of God is, but balaglisod. In fact, one example of Jesus exemplifying this as well in the New Testament is in Matthew 26, verse 39. It says there, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. This is a time when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, just moments away from being captured and led to his crucifixion. He says, if possible, Lord, let this cup pass. I don't want this suffering. But it says here, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And even though kung pwede man dili na lang may tabo ng suffering, because he knew for a fact of the extreme pain and suffering that he was gonna experience, but yet he says, not as I will, but as you will. What extreme act of obedience right there to the will of God. And what did he experience? Verse 6 of Isaiah 50, okay, prophesies one of the things, some of the things that this faithful witness would encounter and experience. It says here, I gave my back to those who strike. One of the punishments when you are a criminal or convicted of something is that you would be flogged. Not flagged, but flogged. Okay, meaning that you would be whipped at your back. And it depends how many times. In Jewish law, it's less than 40. But for Roman people or Roman soldiers, if sila ang gabahala sa flog nimo, which is what Jesus experienced, walang limit. Up until you still have enough strength to carry the cross on which you would be crucified. In other words, it could be 60 times i-whip ka, 70 times, 80 times. As long as nakay kusog to carry your cross, you would be whipped. And that whip is designed to make you bleed. It's designed to make you suffer and experience pain. But it says here, this faithful witness gave his back to those who would strike. Not just that. And my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. Okay, kasi nabungot na rin this afternoon. Kasi naka-experience nag-plucking na, kilay, whatever, or giwax or something, or gibirayan yung buhok, and nag-away mo sa inyong maigsoon before. Diba? You'd know that pulling hair is painful. Pulling your beard is painful as well. But here's the thing. When he says pulling a beard, it's not just the pain, but it's also shameful. In their culture, in their time, when you pull someone's beard and you shave it off, that because barber ka, you know, gibirayan ni mo kay giaway ni mo siya, for the person receiving that treatment, it is considered na he's experiencing shame and dishonor. There's this one quick story in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. It says here, Hanun took David's servant and shaved off half the beard of each. Can you imagine that? Half from bungot nanay mo. And the next verse says there, the men were greatly ashamed. And who wouldn't be ashamed kung you would walk downtown with a half frame bungot? That's what they were experiencing. Now, this is what this faithful servant is talking about. He gave his back to be whipped and his cheeks nga, to be pulled out ang beard niya. And not just that, he hid not his face from disgrace and spitting. One of the things we quickly do when we get ashamed, umaulaw ta, is that we cover our face, di ba? When you have a bad hair day, what do? Kuha kalo, you cover your face, di ba? You wanna go to your house, you wanna hide in your house. You want to cover your face with your pillow. You don't want to be seen by people kung maulaw ka. You want to hide. But for this faithful witness who is persecuted, he says, I will not hide my face from disgrace. And from spitting. Nothing is more insulting to someone than to spit at that person's face. At that person's face. Can you imagine that? Jesus here is willing to suffer persecution for God's will because he's obedient to the will of God. Is willing to suffer. And this begs the question, why was Jesus willing to suffer? I mean, yeah, he's obedient to the will of God, but why go all of that? Why suffer? Nga naman, why say all these things? One way to understand this is, I'm going to share this quick illustration or story. How many of us have ever been to a marathon? Or nag-register lang mo, na wala mo nitong on the day for the marathon? Huh? Nag-try, nag-dream, okay? Si Pastor Kin is our ultra-marathoner, okay? Beto bro, 80 kilometers? Something like that, okay? From here to Bayawan, right? Yeah, yun, okay? Now, if you're ever wondering where do we got that term, marathon, anong dalagan mga people from marathon? There's this story in ancient Greece where in one time, okay, an invading army, the Persian army, was about to attack, okay, the Greek cities. And in the Bay of Marathon, that bay, the Greek armies defeated the Persian armies. And after they won the victory, they needed to send a messenger, the good news. And since wala pa sa Twitter, wala pa sa Instagram, di pa sa story, ay, dog na may karon. Friday, di pa sa kainana. They needed to send someone to bring the news. And no, that someone ran. I don't know why wala siya nagsakay kabayo, wala Grab, wala Uber pa po that time, so wala siya masakyan. He literally ran, and probably in his full uniform, battle attire, as fast as he could. And it covers around 25 miles from the Bay of Marathon to the city of Athens. And this soldier, this messenger, ran with all the speed that he had. And when he got to the city, got to the officials or whoever was important there, he uttered one word. He said, victory. And then he collapsed and then he died. That's all. Because he died of exhaustion. Now you might wonder, why did this guy run 25 miles just to die? Crazy. Pwede man siya maglangay-langay. Ay, nakadaw na bitaw mi. We won. Okay, mag-chill na siya. Ano, wa siya nagsakay na like donkey dito or something. Why did this guy run with all that he had only to die and pronounce that one word, victory? Why? Because the message was worth it. During war, okay, it's life or death. They needed to bring that message. If they lost, they needed to notify their city. Pildita, pahawa na ta. We're gonna be killed or conquered. They need to leave. But because they won, they need to bring a message of victory. So people wouldn't be afraid. They wouldn't be anxious. Is the Persian army about to attack us, kill us? They didn't need to evacuate na. Uy, we can stay na. Pundo na. Ay, bilin ni mong bag. They didn't need to leave. They could have peace knowing that their soldiers had won. In other words, this message was really important. This message of victory was really important. And here's the thing, church. If that message of an earthly battle is important, then all the more important ang message na ginawitness ni Jesus, which is, again, the gospel. The power of God for salvation. This good news, this message of victory, that Jesus has won the victory for us. That when He died on the cross for us, He won a great victory for us that we could never win on our own. Us receiving forgiveness of our sins, having a new life, our relationship with God restored and reconciled. That great victory was won by Jesus. And it will greatly affect your life, your viewpoint of life, how you relate to God, how you relate to others. It will radically change that because of this gospel. And the faithful witness knew that it was all worth it, that bala na is going to experience all of these things. It was worth it. They'll sit with me for a while. It was worth it. It was worth it. Now moving with verse 7, it says here, but the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced, therefore I have set my face like a flint or a rock, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. This faithful witness is confident that yes, they will accuse me. Whoever will accuse me, let him stand. Come on. Where's my adversary? Kasi kung tara na ako, I'm accused na ako nga, I deserve this persecution. He's confident. He's not worried. Why? Because he knows that the Lord God would help him. Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Like this one. They have clothes like this at home? The cabinet ninyo? Diba? 5 years lang nasa cabinet, tas pinakilalom. Wala gigamit, ginakaon na moth. Diba? If you have clothes like this, you wouldn't wear them. You'd throw them away. Useless. Not enough to be fitting a clothes, okay? Labay. In the same way, what Jesus is saying that his accusers, his adversaries, all who would dare to try accuse him of these things or deserving of persecution, they will be like clothes eaten by moths. Useless. Insubstantial. Jesus basically remained faithful because he knew what his suffering was for and that God would vindicate him. Basically, he had this confidence in God. He would be vindicated. And so after all of these things, knowing that Jesus is this faithful servant who was, dependent on the word of God, obedient to God's will, and confident in God, what should be our response as His disciples, as His followers, as His people, as Christians, as people who claim to follow Jesus, what should be our response? It says here, since Christ is the witness who is faithful to His calling despite persecution, despite hardship, we must continue to be faithful witnesses ourselves. Let's tell your other seatmate, continue. We are called to continue as faithful witnesses. Continue doing your one-to-ones. Continue doing victory groups. Continue preaching the gospel to your friends, your family members, your workmates, your classmates. Continue to live for God wherever He has called you. Continue to be His ambassador. Continue to faithfully witness, because if Jesus was a faithful witness, it should be seen in our lives that we are faithful witnesses as well. Makita dapat na sa ating lives. Romans 10, 14 to 15 reminds us of the need to preach the gospel. It says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach na good news. Look at your seatmate's feet. De joke lang bitaw. The simple point here, church, is that there are people who need to hear the gospel. Every Sunday, we come here. For some of us, we've heard the gospel preached to us. We become familiar with it. What about the people around you? What about your friends, your family members, workmates? A while ago, we saw that video, missions update of Timor-Leste, of people there. And you heard the guy there. Now, he knows that his people need to hear the gospel. He's so thankful that people went to his nation and preached to him the gospel. But guess what? We have those people as well in our own nation, in our own city, in our own communities. Wherever you go, there is someone who needs to hear the gospel. How will they know? How will they call on him who has saved them, rescued them, won the victory for them if no one will go there and preach to them? May we be faithful witnesses, church. Last few things before we end. As we talk about being faithful witnesses, what we can learn from Jesus, basically, is dependence on God's word, reliance on the word of God, obedience to God's will, and lastly, confidence in God. Dependence on the word of God, meaning, you know, whatever God speaks to us, we rely on that. That's our sustenance. That's what sustains us. And obedience to His will, that whatever He speaks to us, we would be obedient to follow it. And lastly, confidence. That even though we experience hardships, even though obeying His will not always be easy, and it doesn't mean when we obey His will, happy, happy, tanan sige. But even in the midst of storms, when we obey the will of God, we will be confident that He will not leave us nor forsake us, and He will vindicate us when we are wrongly accused. May we be faithful witnesses, church, as Jesus was a faithful witness.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.